All right, I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis, chapter 28, for the message tonight. While you're turning, let me say a word about the Sweetheart Banquet that's coming up. You know, every year we invite somebody to come. Sometimes we have preachers. We've had several preachers in a row that have come and spoken for our Sweetheart Banquet. Back several years ago, we had a fellow come that played the harp. I don't know if any of you remember that, but he was amazing with a harp. And then 1 year we had a man come and sing. I forget what his name was, but he sung for us. This year, I thought I'd do something a little different. Rather than having somebody come and just preach, I thought that I was down in Florida preaching back in the fall, and these folks were at the conference where I was preaching. And they sung a couple of numbers, and they are really good. It's a dad and a mom, and they're two boys. And they do a tremendous job, four-part Southern gospel style with good music. It's not this, drums and all that business, no, but just piano, but oh my goodness, they can sing, and the life that is behind the songs, you're just going to love these people, I know you are, and they're sweet, sweet, sweet family, and I invited them to come. They're going to sing for us, and of course, you can't just get up and sing for 35, 40 minutes without catching your breath. So there'll be a testimony, in between. I don't know what they'll do. The dad is he does the talking for him, and he's about half crazy. So I don't know what he'll do, but you'll enjoy it. It'll be good, and it'll be a blessing to you. So I want to encourage you to come. We are going across the street to the place over there that hosted us last few years, and their menu is really kind of wide open. Some folks said, "Well, I don't like chicken and I don't like the beef." Well, if you'll get a hold of Don Graff, they have fish. They have a vegetarian platter. They'll help out anyway. If you need help, they'll help you, and make special meals if they have to. But we want you to come. And so Don is selling tickets to the Sweetheart Banquet out at the welcome station desk, and. Don't go changing terms on us, all right? Larry used to say all the time, you can get anything you want out there at that welcome desk. You can get airline tickets or hotel reservations, whatever you need. Disney tickets, whatever. Just go to the welcome desk. But if you will check with Don and get signed up, if you have any questions about it, he'll be glad to answer them for you. All right, let's begin reading in verse 10. And I want to read one of my favorite Bible events. And I want to take a little different look at it tonight. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm fully aware of the time and know there's a ball game on and all that, so don't push me, okay? Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran." All right, now let me explain to you. All right, if you're looking at the map, all right, here's the Mediterranean, here's Israel, Here's Beersheba in the south, all right? And way over here in what you and I know today as Iran, is Haran, all right? He's got a 500-plus mile journey ahead of him. You with me on that? All right, so he's got a long way to go. All right, so he left Beersheba, headed towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. In other words, it got dark. All right? And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Please underline that in your Bible. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Folks, that's one of the greatest verses in the Bible right there. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth El. Beth El. Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, I will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. I want to speak to you tonight from these verses and entitle the message tonight, Jacob's Vision at Bethel. What did he see at Bethel that shook him to his very foundation? What did he realize? What did he see? Jacob's Vision at Bethel. Let's pray. Our Father, how thankful we are for the Bible. And thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us back tonight to hear the message from God's Word. And Lord, I pray that you will be in our midst tonight. And Lord, help me as I speak. Give me the words to say. Help me to communicate the thought that's on my heart. And Lord, would you use it to help us realize what a wonderful Savior we have, what a wonderful God we serve. Father, draw us to yourself. I just pray that we'll leave here tonight changed people as a result of hearing your word. Father, bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. some of the greatest events in the days of the patriarchs, and I'm talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, some of the greatest events in the days of the patriarchs took place in the beautiful mountains that surround what is known today and has been known since Jacob's day as Bethel, the town, the city of Bethel. The word Bethel comes from two Hebrew words, Beth meaning house and El meaning God. Putting them together, Bethel means the house of God. I think it is fitting that God chose to do so many wonderful things at the place typologically called the house of God. Time and time again in the history of Israel, we find Bethel the scene of importance and the place where God is doing some mighty deed. I think you might be surprised if you were to just do a study on the town of Bethel to find out all the mighty things that God did in that place. In my mind, out of all the things that God did there, the greatest incident that ever took place here is or was the story that I read to you tonight in our text from the life of Jacob. Now, we all know what brought Jacob to this place. His brother Esau was angry with him because he had deceived him, tricked him out of his father's blessing. There was no knowing what Esau would do, according to chapter 27 and verse 44. I mean, nobody knew what Esau was going to do here. And so Jacob and his mother thought it best that he flee and just get out as quickly as he possibly could. So that's why he is on his way to Haran, and he makes a long day's journey to the mountains surrounding the city of Bethel, and there stops for the first night. You know, sometimes people can be mistreated, and it just seems to have no effect on them at all. They can bury their resentment and bide their time just waiting for an opportunity to strike and get their revenge. Some people, when they're deceived or when they're mistreated, they just blow their stack and they fly off the handle in a fit of rage. And it seems that the other members of the family kind of felt like that might be how Esau was going to handle this. And so they suggested to Jacob, you'd better flee. And so that's exactly what he did, because Jacob didn't know what his brother's reaction was going to be either. So they thought it best that Jacob leave the family until Esau's rage and resentment could cool down a little bit. Now, of course, as an excuse, I guess you'd say, or another reason, one maybe they might have used just to justify their wanting to get him out of the house, was so that he could leave and go back to Haran, where his grandparents were from, and there he might be able to find a bride among his own people. But regardless of the real reason that he left, I believe it was Esau's rage and their concern for his life. And of course, they wanted him to get a bride. But regardless, Jacob leaves and he headed towards Haran. No doubt with a tear in his eye, he left out and headed for the far country. You see, Jacob was the favored son of his mother. And I can imagine that it was that leaving for him was difficult. And it was probably as difficult on her as it was on him. But he had no choice. Everyone knew that it was time for Jacob to go. And at the end of the first day's travel, he found himself in the hills of southern Galilee, in Bethel, in the house of God. You know, folks, it's always a critical time when a young person leaves home for the first time. That's always a critical time. His or her true character is about to come to the surface, whether for good or for bad. All that we have been making of ourselves through the years of development are soon going to come to the surface when we leave home. Now, while at home, we're sheltered by a father's care. We are guarded by a mother's love. So the question is, how will we handle temptation and trial once we have to face them alone, using our own willpower and our own discernment? And this was Jacob's dilemma. The same one all of us had to face or will have to face at one time or another in our lives. Jacob was different from his twin brother Esau. He had never been a wanderer. He was a homebody. This was probably the first time that he had ever gone away from the comforts of home. And when night fell, Jacob made his bed, exhausted from a hard day's walk, and he fell right to sleep. But something happened to him that night. Once asleep, he dreamed a dream that would forever shape his life. He saw a ladder coming down out of heaven and touching the earth. And on that ladder, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on the ladder. And then when he looked up to the top of the ladder, folks, realize what he saw. He saw the angels of God going up and down that ladder. And then he walked over and he looked up the ladder. And when he looked up to the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord gave him the same promise that he had given to his daddy and his granddaddy before him, to Isaac and to Abraham. The promise that land would belong to his people, the Jews. He saw the Lord, folks. Would you let that sink in and get a hold of you? Can you imagine? I mean, he saw the Lord in that vision. Now, I want to give you something to think about now. All right, everybody put your thinking caps on. The way this is phrased, I have read this, I have preached from this, but I never saw it like this until just a couple of weeks ago. Look at it. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Now, when he awoke and when he looked around, nothing was changed. It was the same place that he had walked up to the evening before. The stones were laying there that he made a pillow out of, a bed out of. You say, why would you make a bed of stones? Well, the stones would be on top of the ground. And he would take those hot stones baked in the Middle Eastern sun, put them just under the dirt, cover them over, and make his bed so he wouldn't freeze to death at night. They were his pillow. Not just for his head, for his whole body. And he woke up and he looked around and nothing was changed. Now don't forget, in the night, he saw the Lord. Don't forget that. But now it's morning and he wakes up and he goes, wow. And he did what all of us would do. He looks around. And when he looked around, nothing was changed. Everything was exactly as it was the night before, except for one thing. Him. He was changed. What changed him, Pastor? He saw the Lord. That'll change you right there. Do you remember when you saw the Lord? Boy, that changed me. Can you think about it, folks? He woke up, he looked around, nothing was different except for him. He saw this ladder, and when he looked up, he saw the Lord. I mean, it was like everything now was new to him. And that's why he said, wow, the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. When I got here last night, I had no idea the Lord was in this place. Can you imagine it? And this is none other than the house of God. Bethel. And that made me wonder. I wonder how many of us will one day, if the Lord tarries, wake up and realize that the Lord was in this place and we didn't know it. You know, folks, if Jesus tarries his coming, we're going to look back. Well, some of us are going to be in heaven. But some of these young people, they're going to look back. And you know they're going to talk about these as being the good old days. You remember when Open Door used to run the buses? You remember when Open Door used to have a soul winning testimony? You remember when Open Door used to have an orchestra? Do you remember when Open Door used to have preaching on Sunday night? You remember that? I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but brethren, you mark my word. You mark my word. The Lord is in this place. And we need to realize that. Now, I'm not going to preach on that. I want to, but I'm not going to. I got to give you this. What is the meaning of this heavenly dream that he had? What's the deal here? Here he comes. Tired, he's been walking through the hot sun all day long. He gets up on this hillside, and it's getting dark, and he looks around, and he says, man, I am exhausted. I'm not used to this. And he makes him a bed, he crawls in it, and then he has this vision in the night. What's the meaning of it? I want to give you a couple of ways to look at this vision. Number one, first of all, I want you to see that Jacob was looking backwards. He was looking backwards. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He realized for the first time in his life what it meant to be utterly alone. It was probably easy to deal with the loneliness during the day, when he was traveling, when he was meeting folks on the way, when he was concentrating to make sure that he was going the right direction. But at night, when he and his mind relaxed, he no doubt felt all alone. I can see him now laying there thinking about his aging father and feeling guilty about how he had so grievously deceived him. He no doubt thought about his sweet, loving mother, fretting and worrying about her and wondering how she was handling him being gone. He thought of how she no doubt was thinking of him that very moment and praying for his safety. through the night. I dare say that Jacob could see her in his mind's eye, tossing and turning upon her own bed, worrying about her little boy. So you can be sure that every thought he had of the home he left just made his loneliness worse. And it was in this hour of loneliness, while looking backwards, that he had his dream. And it was then that God drew near to him. And Jacob learned in that never to be forgotten hour at Bethel that though alone, he was never alone. He was in touch with the one who is light, with the one who loved him. But more importantly, he learned that he was in touch with God Almighty. From the very stone where his head was resting, there was free access to God. And this was the turning point in Jacob's life. Is it not always in the crisis when we are found by God? Is it not always in the difficulties, in the loneliness, in the trial, in the heartache, where we are found of God? I mean, the Lord comes to us and we realize that we can never again be desolate and lonely. Oh, that we would learn this truth. Are you hurting tonight, Christian? Are you lonely? Are you grieving? Is your heart breaking? You sit here right now and you look back over the last few weeks or the last few months, or maybe you look back over the last few years and you feel all alone, just like Jacob did. Well, dear friend, listen, open your eyes and realize that the Lord is there. We need to understand that as believers in the omnipotent, omnipresent God, that we are never alone. The places we live in and the things we do are done with the God of Jacob, with the living God watching over us and supplying our needs and our protection. So here he is on this fateful night. And he's looking backwards. I have no doubt he was laying there thinking about home when he fell asleep. But notice, secondly, I want you to see that Jacob surely was looking forward too. He was not only looking backwards, but he was also looking forward. Truth is, no one leaving home can only focus on looking back. No one leaving home can only focus on looking back. Oh, it may hurt to leave home, but there is in the leaving an excitement of what lies ahead for you, is there not? I remember when I had to leave home to go to college. I remember, man, it grieved me. I didn't want to leave my mom and dad. I didn't want to go. But I was excited about being able to go to school. I was excited about the people I was going to meet. I was excited about the things I was going to learn. It's never easy to leave. Never easy. But there's an excitement that you have to look forward to when you do leave. Now, you might think that Jacob was just an aimless wanderer here. And truth be told, he probably thought on the first day at least that he was nothing more than an aimless wanderer. I mean, he is running from his angry brother. Was he just going to get out of the area for a few weeks and let Esau calm down and then slip back home again? Or would it be years before he would see his family again? I don't know. I don't know what was going through his mind. All he knew for sure as he lay down to sleep that night was, tomorrow I'm going to have to climb the next mountain and I'm going to have to keep on the move. That was clear to him. Maybe Esau was so angry he was going to come looking for him. You can imagine the things that were running through his mind. But that night, he saw the ladder that led right into the very presence of God himself. And Jacob learned from that vision and from what God said to him that he was not an aimless wanderer. He learned that night that his steps were guided and directed by the light and the love of his God. He learned that his course was directed by an unseen hand who was leading him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Folks, I'm telling you, this was a great hour for Jacob. What a great hour it is for any of us when we learn that we are not just thrown out into the storms of life to fend for ourselves. It's a great day when we realize that God has a path designed for us to take and that we have His promise and His provision as we walk down that path. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but you know the one that holds tomorrow. What is God going to do with me tomorrow? I don't know, but I know that He knows, and that is where I just have to have faith to trust Him. Some of you young people, you're sitting here now wondering, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do tomorrow? Can I give you a little piece of pastoral advice? Young people, go to God and trust God. Can I just have you spend a little time asking God, Lord, where do you want my steps to lead me tomorrow? You know, you just might be surprised. God may one day have you from standing behind this pulpit being the pastor. Who knows? We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know who holds tomorrow. Then there's one more thing I have to have you see. Take a moment, turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You know the story here. Look at verse 43. It says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now watch this. Jesus, verse 47, saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? That's like you and I asking, how do you know me? We've never met. How do you know me? Watch this now. Watch. Jesus answered and saith unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And boy, he did, didn't he? Amen. And he saith unto him, watch carefully now, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what happened to Jacob. Now, speaking to Nathanael, Jesus said these words taken right from Jacob's life. Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, what does that mean? What was Jesus saying to Nathanael? What on earth did he mean by making this statement? All right, now listen carefully. He was saying that through himself, we have access to God. That's what he was saying. Through himself, we have access to God. It means that the way to heaven, the way to get from earth to heaven, where the Father is through exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way to get to the Father except through the Son. And Jesus was telling Nathanael that if he wants to see the Father, he's got to have faith in the Son. But it means much more than that, as it is a promise to all of us who believe. It means that if there is safety in lonely places, and if there is comfort and fellowship there, if there is light and love there, if there is sure and certain guidance for the unknown tomorrow, it will be found and given to us by our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same one that Jacob saw and who promised comfort and guidance and blessing and direction and strength to him is the same one that promises that to us. Man, what a wonderful promise to you and to me. The God that Jacob saw at the top of the ladder came down to dwell among us, to walk the same path that you and I walk. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. All that you and I experience in life, as I said this morning, folks, he's already experienced it. We suffer heartache, so did he. We grieve because a loved one leaves us alone to deal with all the problems of life. Well, he grieved at the loss of loved ones as well. You say, well, I got people that hate me. He had a bunch of people that hated him. You say, I got folks that despise me. He was despised by just about everybody. You say, well, I've been laughed at. Not like Jesus was. Well, I was scorned, not as bad as Jesus was scorned. Well, I've had people mock me, not as bad as Jesus was mocked. I mean, folks, he faced it all. Every trial, every temptation, every burden that any of us have ever had to face, he faced it already. And now the promise is, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. His promise is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His promise is that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My dear friend, listen, you don't know what tomorrow holds, but one thing, if you're saved, you can know for sure about, and that is your Savior will be right there by your side to guide you all along the way. And that's what Jacob learned that night. That's what he learned. He learned this lesson on that day that he was never alone. And brethren, I want you to get that lesson in your heart tonight. I don't know what tomorrow, what you're facing tomorrow. I don't know. But I do know this. If you're saved, you've got the promise that the Lord is going to face it with you. You say, well, Pastor, I could die tomorrow. And when you do, who's the first one you're going to see? Amen. You say, but Pastor, I may have to go to the emergency room tomorrow. Yep. And you got a friend that'll be right there with you. You say, but Pastor, I may get a broken heart tomorrow. That you might. That's, as a matter of fact, in all probability, that's going to happen to you tomorrow. But the good news is, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I want you to picture old Jacob walking up that hillside. Man, look at the, can you see the sweat pouring off his face? Man, his legs ache, his knees hurt, his ankles hurt. He is so tired, he is so homesick, he can't stand it. He misses mama. He makes his bed, he lays in that bed, and he cries himself to sleep looking backwards. Every now and then he thinks about tomorrow, but then he goes right back to yesterday. And then he thinks about, and he goes right back to yesterday. And he thinks about tomorrow, and he thinks, well, I have no clue where I'm going. I've been a mama's boy all my life, tied to the apron strings all my life. How in the world am I going to get to Haran? I have no idea what I'm doing. And then he starts thinking about mama again. And with tears in his eyes, he goes to sleep. But while he's asleep, the Lord shows up. And the Lord gives him the promise that wherever you go, son, I'm going to be with you. You see all this around here? I've already given it to you. It's yours. I'm your God. And brethren, no matter what you have to face this week, I want you to get a hold of the fact that you don't face it alone, but you have a God that will stand by your side. And that's what the purpose of this vision was all about. May we realize what a friend we have in Jesus.